Good morning, everybody. It's coming. Okay, so I want to first thank my collaborators. I don't know, Linda and Kevin in the room? They're still sleeping. But my colleague Mike Willis at UW, Linda Delp and Kevin Ryder at UCLA Loesch. And then I have to say I have no relationships to disclose other than my marriage. And I want to acknowledge some other folks also who've helped us on this project. Marcia Baker, who is a retired climatology professor at University of Washington. Yancey Wright from Celent, Diane Davies from Seattle Vocational Institute, and Maya and Jan, both who are with UCLA Loesch. And I want to acknowledge our funding from NIHS Worker Education Training Program, and Sharon Beards, our program person, and she's on this panel as well. So I'm going to probably not leave much time for questions between my presentation and the next, but I hope we'll have time to have a discussion about all these issues later. So what this presentation is about is it's really a focus on the nexus between green building systems, safety and health, and where construction workers fit into that. And in that context, what training should look like for workers and students becoming workers, and how it's actually worked in practice for us. So where there's green, there's hype. Everybody has known that for the last 5 to 10 years, and so I think it's important to sort of cut through the hype a little bit and say what's real amidst the hype. And I just put this up. These are McGraw-Hill figures that just shows the growth in the green percentage of non-residential construction starts from 2% in 2005, estimated to go to 20% in 2013. So it's pretty sizable growth, though you can see it, still see it's a minority part of the industry. This, of course, does not include retrofits. This is new construction. And retrofits, especially energy retrofits, is a big part of the LA part of our program and somewhat for the Seattle part of our program also. So that's important to keep in mind. Another bit of information, this is by no means a typical contractor, but this is one of the contractors we've worked with, one of the largest contractors in the state of Washington, and this is showing what percentage of their work has been LEED projects over this period of time. And as you can see, it's pretty striking. We're up to 94% in 2009, in the 80s and 90s. So this is a major contractor who's focusing in this sector. And it's the kind of contractor that any construction apprentice would love to get on with. No, I don't have time to go to detail on this, but and many of you are probably aware of this, but just as an introduction, LEED is kind of the framework on which green building is based in the U.S. now, a system developed by the U.S. Green Building Council, and it stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and focuses on five areas: sustainable sites, water efficiency, energy and atmosphere, materials and resources, and indoor environmental quality. And I'll just show you a little taste of all the different areas you can get credits in, and this makes it a little more visible for the materials and resources part. So you have to store and collect recyclables. You can reuse part of the building. You can get credits for waste management, reuse of materials, et cetera, et cetera. It's way more detailed than I want to get into, but I do want to emphasize that there's a certain amount of controversy about LEED that we have to be aware of. There are lawsuits about LEED. In part, one of the criticisms of LEED is there's not enough focus on human health, actually, only in the indoor environment quality area. And also, there are some question about, you know, we don't have very good data on how LEED certified projects actually behave in practice. So you get credit for some of these things, but are you actually saving as much energy as you predicted? So now to get to what our program has been about. We began this program under ARRA stimulus funding from NIEHS, and we do this program. Well, I should say, we actually do this program in three places. Now it's only two, and Valeria is going to talk about a third aspect that they've been doing in Berkeley and LA, but I'm going to focus on these two programs. And in Seattle, we partner with the Pre-Apprenticeship Construction Training Program of Seattle Vocational Institute. It's a program that's tied in very close to the building trades. It's, if you know youth build, it's a youth build type program, but as you can see, the age range is much wider and cohort size of about 15. And this is, it's actually an amazing program. Well more than half of the students are ex-offenders. When we interview for people coming into this program, it's just amazing what people's lives have been through. And the program's been very successful in turning those around and getting people into the trades. At UCLA Loesch, their partnership is with the Worker Education and Resource Center, which is a training program, career ladder program that's existed for quite some time, but this is a new program that provides training under the LA Green Retrofit and Workforce Program. And so that's just started up in the last year or so. The curriculum content for our programs is generally quite similar, and it's a combination of a balance of construction skills, work and life skills, and green building. So some of the objectives are to for students to become familiar with green building systems, to learn the tasks of specific trades in green building. There's a component which is to engage with the larger environmental issues, and then of course there's the health and safety issues associated with green systems. And again, I want to add that Valeria is going to be talking about the green chemistry aspect, which is something they do in LA that we haven't yet done in Seattle. So this is one of our big questions, is how much skills, how much environmental awareness. The nature of the program, the students, and these days the economy, these students want jobs. They want to get into apprenticeships. That's what they're most interested in. That's their top priority. And so we do things to get them familiar with the green building world so that they're equipped to know what's out there. So I'll experiment with going forward. For instance, in the in LA, they're using The Greening of Southie, the movie, to teach people what these green, what the green building world is about. See if I can go back here. Oh yeah. In our area, we have a prominent green contractor and the sustainability director from that contractor as one of our instructors and one of our curriculum developers. And so having him in the room when they know his projects around town is a very powerful thing, and the program director is very excited about that. In terms of the environmental issues, often it doesn't start out as being of all that much interest to the students, but with some prodding, they get very engaged. This is one of our favorite pictures, and Marcia, our climate scientist, does this thing about how precipitation in the Pacific Northwest has changed and what it means for hydropower during different times of the year. And she has the students come up and kind of draw these graphs, and she says after every class, I don't know why I was teaching university students my whole career. These guys are so much more interested and engaged. And it's true of some of them. It's not true of all of them, but it's true of some of them. Okay, so one of the other big questions is, where do the students and workers fit in this? How much do they really need to know about either the environment or green jobs to do their work? This is a fairly complicated slide, but I just want to use it to illustrate a simple point. This is actually an ideal as the design construction process goes these days. It's not a typical design construction process. And in this integrated design process, you have the owner and architect at the conceptual level, but the contractor is also involved, because as you're determining how you're going to do these lead credits. You have to do that upstream. But where do the construction workers enter? They enter after construction has started. So they're not going to be involved at this stage by any means. In a normal process, the contractor won't even be involved at this stage. So the question then becomes, what do they need to know? And the fact is that, yes, they do need to know about the separation of materials and recycling, about new materials that their trade might be using to be green on the project. And they need to know about the doing familiar work in an unfamiliar place. Like if you're a landscaper, but suddenly you're doing it on the roof of a building, that's different. You need to be aware of that. And some other things they need to know as well. But there's a lot that they don't have control over, which raises the question of, is there a larger value to their knowledge of things like climate change and green systems? And we think there is. And Linda just walked in the room, so I'll give her credit for, you know, saying that there's a job satisfaction issue here. And in our experience, one of the things that we tell the folks is the same thing I used to tell people 30 years ago when I used to do safety and health training, and saying, You now know more about safety than your supervisor and anybody else on the site. And in this case, these guys probably are going to know more about green building than almost anybody on the any other workers on the site, unless they've got it in some other way. Okay, so what do our students ask in this process? Well, it's interesting, and they ask some of the same questions in both places. Number one, what does this mean to my getting a job? What does green mean to health and safety? That we teach them together so they're interested in that. How does this give me a leg up in finding work? Are the green jobs being created replacing existing jobs, or are they new? They're pretty savvy about this. They look at these statistics and say, well, are those all new jobs? And obviously the answer is no. There's a lot of shifting going on. And then this is sort of the sad question that everybody asks. It's great to do all this green stuff, but is it too late to do anything about climate change? Unfortunately, Marsha's answer with each succeeding cohort is more and more skeptical, you know, like, uh-oh, another 6 months passed, it's getting worse, but she tries to keep it optimistic. So I want to give you a few examples of what we actually use in the classroom. We do a lot with budgets in the Seattle program because they're learning how to be financially responsible. So we do water and energy budgets, so water income, water savings, water expenditures, and then we do this little exercise which have them compute their own water consumption. We do water first because water's a little more straightforward than energy, and then they come in and talk about this, and we find out that there's at least one student in every cohort who takes 30-minute showers, and in one that they took two 30-minute showers, and everybody's saying, what do you do in the shower? Nobody can figure it out, but it's true. Every one of them, we've run into this. So, and people have talked about how their behavior has changed as a result, which is kind of cool. In LA, they do a team building exercise early on to envision what a green structure would look like, and then present some of the features, in this case a residential a home, in terms of a number of the green building systems that you'd find there. Another one we do is to ask them to pick a green system and answer these various questions: how it works, have they seen local examples of it, environmental impact, new jobs, safety concerns. Here was one of our winning entries, which is kind of hard to read, and I can talk about it a little bit later, but this was about pervious concrete, and this was somebody's answer to the pros and cons, and he included virtually everything we asked for. But what I want to say mostly about safety and health in green building is I'm a firm believer that there's nothing different about how you look at safety in green building or anything else. And so that's weird. Okay. That's supposed to be in front. Okay, so what you have is this is a job hazard analysis. Green systems can make jobs more or less hazardous. We have an opportunity when we train in green building to reinforce earlier safety and health stuff we've done. We do these things in different sequences. We do an OSHA 10 for these for our people earlier, so we use this to reinforce some of those things. In Berkeley, they did it simultaneously, and in LA, and what we're doing now is we're doing HAZWOPR 24 and 40 hours, as well as lead and asbestos awareness and some other things. So we have lots of opportunities to reinforce. So what's new? Well, green work, when you talk about weatherization or retrofits, it's not new. It's lead, asbestos, it's polyurethane foam, fiberglass, biological hazards like mold. I'm almost done. When you get into green building systems themselves, there's a couple of examples up here. There's a lot of daylighting and for indoor environmental quality and energy efficiency. But when you're working around skylights, it's not any different from a green site to a non-green site. You got the same issues. This is a rainwater storage unit in a building. Now, this is pretty unfamiliar to most people because it's new, but it's a confined space, and you're going to have to do the same kind of hazard analysis there. All of these green systems, you're going to have pervious concrete takes more exertion to work with. Vegetated roof, again, if you're doing landscaping on a roof, it's a little different. You're going to have to look at all these things and analyze them for hazards. Here's an example from LA of a hazard mapping project they did on the smart irrigation project. So what's the future? Our program has transitioned from stimulus funding to minority worker funding. Thanks to the NIEHS program, we now have the opportunity to do a lot of different kind of skills with our workers, but as a result, we're also responsible for tracking them more closely to see if they're getting into these green jobs. In LA, their first year focus is on these city building retrofits as a result of their ordinance, and they'll be looking to expand later into other projects. In Seattle, our folks move into all kinds of construction work, and some of them have a particular focus on green with the Seattle Housing Authority, with Sound Transit. We get a lot of people into the laborers apprenticeship program, and so we'll be looking at where these people go, what kind of jobs they have, how our green training is really panning out for them in practice. And so I'll end there, and I think probably Carla will tell me if we have any time for questions. Okay.